welcome to episode 450 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moyne. I'm joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Joey, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
Megan?
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hope you guys are doing well. Nice to podcast with you. And I hope you all both got your money back from the Glasgow Willy Wonka chocolate experience.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say that seeing that whole, like, the AI-generated brochure or whatever, I could have told you that was going to be it. Okay, this is also terrible. I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay, shut up, Megan.
I know, because I paid, like, when I went to see the dinosaurs at the Monroeville, like, center, like, it was, like, they had, like, the lifelike dinosaurs and stuff, but it was kind of just like that. I don't know. I just was kind of, maybe I needed to see more. I mean, don't get me wrong, it wasn't great. I think the worst part was the lemonade that they had and the two, like, pieces of candy or whatever. But I don't know. I feel like they should have known from that brochure. Come on. It looks like it was going to be bad.
Did you see the I think Vulture did an interview with the girl.
Which
girl? Who was the Oompa Loompa behind the bar. Yeah. The girl became a meme. She did an interview with Vulture in another magazine. And then the person who, sorry, I'm yawning. The person who, like, was behind the Target mirror with the mask on, that person did an interview too. So I was like, great. I'm glad this is being made into a movie. Fantastic.
Well, it is being made into a movie, but it's like there's some kind of horror
or something. Or a horror movie. That's
Yeah. But that was the most insane thing. Like, this is what I love about the internet. This is what I love about Twitter. when something like this happens, they just, like, that picture of the poor woman playing an Oompa Loompa in front of the meth lab looking equipment just became.
Yes.
And then the fact that Kate Middleton was gone and this, you know, still people like can't figure out where she is. It just, it did make me laugh, which was, you know, needed. It's hardly needed.
Well, I was even impressed with the fact that my parents knew about it. Like, so it, I think it made the ABC Nightly News type of thing, which I thought, wow, that's kind of crazy that something so silly got, because I was trying to explain to me. My dad's like, I know what that is. I was like, oh, wow. I'm like, maybe he's just online more than I thought he was.
At any rate, that was that. And so this week we are going to catch up to HBO's newest Kate Winslet limited series, The Regime. And essentially, we're going to talk about whether or not this is another Mare of Easttown or is this a new low in HBO programming? Because you can hear both opinions online. And then, of course, we'll just chit-chat a little bit, and then we'll wrap things up with the flashboard to the media you're most anticipating in the upcoming week. You guys ready?
Yeah.
I'm sorry if that was an awkward segue, but I just feel the need to get things going. But first, Joey, before we started recording, you were going to tell us your opinion of Dune 2, a film that I have not seen yet, maybe this weekend, but you saw it. So why don't you give us a 2-minute review?
Sure. I think Dune as like a series and as it exists in the world is just fine. I think it's beautifully crafted. I rewatched. So the conversation that I had with Jason, my husband, was I was like, I think I'm going to go see Dune on Sunday. And he was like, oh, I haven't seen Dune. I was like, well, do you want to go see Dune? He was like, I don't know. How long is it? I was like, almost 3 hours. He's like, both of them? I was like, yes, they're each about almost 3 hours. He's like, oh, okay. And then I was like, so how about on Sunday morning we watch Dune? And then we'll do some stuff. And then on Sunday night we'll watch Dune Part 2. I was like, are you sure you want to do that? He was like, I do have a lot of work to do. And I was like, that's not a yes or a no. I need you to tell me if I should buy tickets. Long back and forth. That was not necessary to the story. Anyway, I think the second one is more entertaining in terms of, I think that I told Clarence, I am not somebody who, like, I like dramas. I think drama is just great. But I need, like, if you're going to go that hard on seriousness, I need like a scotch of levity, like something. Like I think what, you know, Denis Villeneuve has done is he's quite literally created a different world. The design is bonkers. The performances are, you know, very dedicated, whatever. When the lights went up on Dune 2, I turned to Jason. I was like, oh, so did you like it? And his first words literally was like, Timothy Chalamet runs funny. And I was like, I don't know what that means. I think Dune 2 is too long. I think my personal problem with the movies is I have no investment in this story. I can go to it and love the visuals and have a great time with the big action, you know, action set pieces, which there's plenty in this one. It's great. I can enjoy the cast. Rebecca Ferguson goes really into the deep end in this one, and I imagine she's going to go even further later. I will say, also, I want to say right here and now that I think, you know, all the people that were bitching about Austin Butler and the Elvis thing, I was like, just let him be a weird actor. He was good in this. I think the people that are like, he's gonna get an Oscar, like, I want to like take those people by the forehead and shove them so hard. And then also, people are going so hard with their reviews of this. I'm dubbing the majority of some of the Dune Part 2 reaction as duning and baiting. That is what I'm calling it.
So I heard he was quite good for a this kind of performance.
He's like, he goes all in, and he's, you know, having a really great time, like chewing the scenery and being a total, total psychopath. I'm obsessed with all of Florence Pugh's costumes. She has like cowls for days. I mean, it's just sort of not for me necessarily, but I enjoy the fervor of going to see a big movie that people are super excited about. Also, when the lights came up, before I asked Jason what he thought of it, there was a couple sitting next to us, a guy and a girl. And as the lights were going down, she was just very loudly, through all of the previews, was very confused about what IMAX was, because we saw it in an IMAX theater. And she's like, what is that? Like, I don't understand. What is it? And the guy seemed very disinterested. He was like, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. And then, like, the previews came on. She's like, but, like, what is it? Like, Max, IMAX, what is it? And it took every ounce of strength in me to be like, bitch, it's just a big screen. It's just a fucking big screen. Shut up. And then, it's just a big screen. And then when the movie was over, she just seemed really enthralled. She's like, wow, what a great movie. Like, didn't you think it was great? And she turns to the guy that she was with, and he said, I think that was objectively really bad. And he just got up and walked out.
Oh, my
out.
Gosh.
It was so funny.
I'm gonna hang with them.
And she was just like, watch. She's like, what do you mean? I thought it was really good. Tell me why you thought it was bad. And he just kept going. I thought that was very entertaining. So go see Dune Part 2.
I'm with Megan. I want to see it with them again. Yeah. I want her to take this guy again.
Yeah.
What is it, though? Don't take her. Don't confuse her with, like, 70mm... or anything like that. Just.
Like, what does that mean? 70mm? Is it a gun? What?
Is it only 70 minutes long?
That's funny. So you liked it, but it's not for you.
Yeah. I can appreciate what it is delivering. And I'm exhausted at the prospect of a third one.
I try to stay away from most of the discourse online because I do want to see it. And I know kind of the arc of the series, you know, with respect to Timothy Chalamet's character, but I don't, you know of anything else that happens. But one thing that I did get really tired of seeing on Twitter was tweets referring to when Zendaya gives that look in the third act. Oh my God, that was acting. Like,
oh God, I'm gonna kill
what? Myself. Like, there's several tweets out there, and I like Zendaya just fine. I think she's a very good actress, but the fervor and the almost the hushed demeanor that people referred to her performance in this film, it was like she was reinventing the craft of acting.
Was like, she was in the first one, right? But like very briefly.
Briefly, yeah.
Okay. I remember people being very mad that she wasn't in it more.
I remember people being upset, yeah.
I don't know that I really needed to rewatch it because I vividly remember everything within it, which is strange. But I, the thing that popped for me on the third viewing was Rebecca Ferguson is really bonkers, and I love it.
Mm.
Buckle up!
Oh, I can't wait! I can't wait! I hear she's got like this stare off with Charlotte Rampling.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Megan, have you seen? Yeah. Oh, sorry. What were we saying?
Oh, no, that's all. That's all.
Okay.
Have I seen Dune?
No. Have you seen anything else? Or anything you want to talk about?
Other than I watched Jennifer Lopez's movie. What is? I know the documentary is called The Greatest Love Story Never Told. Why can't I remember what the? This is Me Now.
This is Me. No, you have to pause. Yeah. This is Me.
Me Now. No. Yeah. I really liked it. It's just like a long music video. It's fun. It's cheesy. I'm like, why aren't gays like latching onto this and making it like everything and Drag Race and stuff? It's fun, but it's also moving. Like I took away a lot from it. I don't know. J-Lo, I just love her right now. I'm really into all things J-Lo, but I really enjoyed it. The music's good. It's just fun to watch. Yeah. I had a good time watching it. It's only like an hour long too. So
really?
Mm-hmm. It's like an hour.
You mean
and five
the doc
minutes.
Of?
No, the doc is longer than the movie.
It is?
The movie's only like an hour and 5 minutes. Yeah.
What? It's a visual album then, right?
Oh, yeah, it's like a long music video.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, that's the only thing I've watched recently, I think, other than catching up on Resident Alien. I'm about like halfway through the first season, which I'm really enjoying that one. And Abbott Elementary, I've been trying to stay up to date on that too. And of course, Drag Race and Curb Your Enthusiasm and what we're talking about today.
Mm. Well, I think my wife and I, we usually have movies for every holiday. So we recently caught up to our Valentine's Day movie, which was Sleepless in Seattle. Which is such a great movie. I mean, talk about movies that they don't make anymore. They don't make anything like that anymore.
They don't. No.
Now it reminded me that Meg Ryan had a movie last year that you really liked. I remember the key to it is you imagine them dead, right?
Yeah, it was a weird movie, but I appreciated it for the big swings it took, and I just loved seeing her. I mean, she could have chemistry with anybody, and she and David Duchovny had chemistry. He's also somebody who I think has great chemistry with people, so I would watch that one again.
Nice. All right, so as you alluded to, we have been watching HBO's new limited series, The Regime. I have seen by now four episodes because I was able to get screeners. I was given screeners without asking for them. And you guys have seen just the pilot. They only aired one, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So, Joey, why don't you tell us what The Regime is about?
Sure. So The Regime is set in, I believe, Middle Europe. and the quick answer to that is Kate Winslet is chancellor. She's been chancellor of Middle Europe.
You make it sound like a hobbit.
I know. She sounds like one too. For 7 years, she's terrified of mold. And her father died a year ago, I think, and he's in a tube. And he's in like a tube that she goes and visits, and she is appointed a new person in her guard unit, played by Matthias Schoenaerts, who I still think is one of the sexiest men ever in the whole world. He has been embroiled in a scandal where I think he accidentally killed a bunch of people, if that may be correct. And she is giving him a chance to sort of be a bodyguard because she thinks that she can tell that he is a man who deserves love and wants to give him another chance. The first episode at least sort of introduces us in terms of how some people see her negotiating tactics a little bit, how I'm gonna say eccentric she is, but that's probably the safest way to put it. So she's like an agoraphobe, not an agoraphobe, a germaphobe, and she thinks the palace walls have mold that's gonna kill her, and she's a hypochondriac, and yeah. So I think it's sort of like, if I could give my two thoughts on the show,
yes,
the first
please.
Episode anyway. I thought, and maybe it goes this way later, I thought it was going to lean into a more obvious comedic tone originally. Like, it's obviously satiric and absurdist. But I feel like so far there it's a little too it's taking itself in some scenes a little too seriously, and I want it to lean more heavily into I want it to be middle Europe Veep just a little bit more, and it's not doing that. And I had seen what some people were saying about her accent, most notably Eric Anderson's description of it, and he ruined it for me because that is the only thing that I can think of now.
He sounds
like, and this might be misquoting, so if I'm wrong, I will correct myself. Her voice work is like Drew Barrymore after she had a stroke.
Oh, he did say that. Oh, I see. I thought she sounded like Catherine O'Hara's character in Schitt's Creek.
Oh, God. I mean, I will say I appreciate a big choice. And the fact that Kate Winslet is allowed to do sort of what she's doing on what is, I guess, being heralded as what they're hoping it to be, a prestige HBO limited series. You know, after she won an Emmy for Mildred Pierce, she won an Emmy for Mayor of Easttown. I think that is putting some like high hopes on it. I don't know if it's going to deliver on that. And I think a good indication of how I feel about the show is like, all right, how many episodes is this? Hour-long episodes? Okay. Okay. Where's Martha Plimpton? Give her to me. So, yeah, I think I'm middle of the road. I don't want to say disappointed, but I thought it was going to be a little bit of something else of what they gave us.
Megan, why don't we jump to your reaction?
I liked it more as the episode went along. I was kind of.
I do agree
like,
with that.
I think it got better towards the end. I feel like this is a role Emma Thompson would be. I was like, oh my God, this is like Emma Thompson. Like, she just reminded me so much of Emma Thompson. Also, she looks amazing. I just love Kate Winslet so much. I didn't quite know. I feel like this is something that it's going to be interesting to see how American audiences embrace it, because I feel like it's very niche to that culture, and so everything seems foreign to me. I don't know how things work. Like, I don't know how things work in the American government, but I really don't know how things work over there. So I know it's not based on a true person, like an actual person, but I feel like it's probably pulling from a lot of things. So I do wonder if different audiences will get something out of it. Versus American audiences. But I had a lot of questions, like, is that her son, that little boy, or is that Andrea Riseborough's son? Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's her son, but Andrea Riseborough was a surrogate mother.
Oh, that's why she said, go to your mother?
Yeah.
Because I was so confused by that. I also, I like the character. I think she's really interesting. I think, Kate Winslet's perfect for something like this. I will keep watching it. I think that the production design's really impressive. The music's real weird and like doesn't quite fit the which is cool. Like it kind of gives you those hints that this is more of a comedy. Also, I think that the opening credit scene is probably going to be in contention for the main titles. I felt like it kind of gives you an idea of what the show is going to be about really well. Yeah, I will keep watching, but I thought it got better towards the end when the character, the butcher, kind of like she asks him for help and he kind of just says, here's what you're going to do. And I was like, oh, wow. And I feel like they probably will have some sort of romantic relationship possibly.
Yeah, they're going to fuck.
Yeah. So I don't know. I will keep with it, but I thought it was, It'll be interesting to see how maybe, you know, Succession had a slow start too, and this is like the same executive producer, I think. So who knows? I'll keep with it.
So I think this is one. This one's got me longing for the glory days of Florence Foster Jenkins, also directed by Stephen Frears.
Like it.
This one, I think, is one of the worst HBO programs I've ever seen in my life. I cannot stand a single second of it, and I've seen more than you. So when I saw the beginning, I was like, is this bad? Or am I just, is it just, I don't get it. And then I thought, I can deal with it. You know, I love Kate Winslet, and I think she's a great actress. And I'll give it, I'll give it another shot. And I watched the second episode, and I watched the third episode, and then I said, no, this is just terrible. It is flat-footed. I actually think that HBO marketed this as a satire, because when they saw what they have, it's too dramatic to be a satire. There are funny things in it, but I find it too over. The tone is too overall dramatic to be a true satire. I'm like you, Joey. I watched this and I thought I really wanted there to be more of an Armando and Iannucci touch to it. I wanted it to be even more outlandish than it really is, and it's not. It's really only outlandish with her. And that's one of the separations in tone here. She is a nut job. And she is the European version of Selena Meyer from Veep. But everybody around her is deadly serious. Everybody around her is, you know, the whole drama with Andrea Riseborough and the son who has epilepsy. I don't know if the first episode.
Yeah, she mentioned that, I think, in the first episode.
So, you know, that's clearly not funny. The Matthias Schoenberg character who has post-traumatic stress disorder, also not funny. I really feel like, and if you look at the career of Stephen Frears, he's never directed anything that is a satire. He's never directed anything that is politically, I mean, he's directed political things before, but he's never directed anything that is a poking at political governments before. I really think that this was intended to be a serious project, and they are marketing it as a satire because it's just that bad.
Really interesting. Well, I do want to say that, like, in the first episode, I found it strange that when she's talking to the Americans at the, like, after she sings that terrible song, or she sings terribly.
Yeah.
and she sits down, and the husband is like, the American woman is like, how did you meet? And he tells her, oh, I was with, like, I had a family. And, like, the way he just says it, and it says it so, like, and doesn't try to hide the fact that he left his wife and kids, has not seen them since, and to be with her. And I just found that strange. Like, that usually it was funny. There was no tinge of like, oh, like that he was trying to hide it at all. He was just blatantly like, oh, I'm here. Like, I found like that interesting. And also, like, I'm not quite sure what to make of that kind of tone, but it was funny. But it was like, oh, you abandoned your kid. For Ariana Grande. Oh, wait, sorry. No, wrong person.
Wrong movie. I mean, there's a lot of things that land like that very awkwardly. And I agree with, you know, all of the production design. The music is eccentric, but I think it works kind of a little bit in sort of the tone that they're going for. It just all feels very wrong to me personally. I'm not having a good time with it. I will say that.
That's really interesting. I will keep watching it, but I was kind of wondering, that's really interesting that you say that he's never done, like, Stephen Frears has never done something like this before. And you're right. And, I'm really now going to be thinking about that a lot. kind of the way you influenced me with Maestro too.
Well, yeah, and I also don't think, I mean, I think Kate Winslet I don't think she's ever given a truly bad performance. I just don't think she understands this character very much. I think she's really good at playing people that she understands, that she has a connection with, like Mayor of Easttown or any one of her roles. I just don't feel that she gets this character. I have a lot of questions about it. Like, I have a lot of whys, you know, why are these people following her? How did she get elected? What does this country think of her? All we get are like glimpses of life outside of these palace walls. I don't know. And I do, there are things that are funny to me in it, like the whole obsession, like their national produce is the sugar beet. And every time she says sugar beet, I do laugh. But I don't think anybody understands why they're making this. Like, I did read an article in the week leading up to its release that they said, don't think of this as think of this as Succession. An average episode of Succession knew exactly who its characters were, knew exactly why these people, you know, were interacting with each other. And they got humor from very dark situations. And I just feel that the writing here is just not up to par.
I'm wondering, though, if this character doesn't know herself, and that's the point.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, there's...
She seems kind of, like, confused by why she thinks she's crazy and stuff, too.
Well, you know, and Veep played with that, too, having just recently rewatched it. Selena Meyer didn't know who she was outside of just being president. Like, that was the whole joke. And people commented on that, and they reflected on that, and they played with that she had no idea, just no self-identity whatsoever. She didn't, you know, identify as a mother. She didn't identify as a wife or a lover. She only identified it as a president or a vice president or a person who wanted to be president. I don't know why Kate Winslet's character wants to be the chancellor so much.
Yeah.
You know, it just, there are... I don't need all this explained. I just need, there are vital pieces of information that would make this a better satire. Not to surround her with such serious dour presences that, you know, just contrast so drastically with her. I mean, we already know she's a lunatic, but my God, I mean, everybody around her is just afraid of her for some reason. And, you know, and then maybe there's this thing going on with people suggesting that she's sick, and maybe she's not really sick. I don't know. It's just all very, very odd, and not in a good way. Sorry, but that's just my perspective. I'm interested to see what you guys think after watching more episodes. Maybe this is the kind of thing where if you watch it with a little bit more I don't know if echo chamber is the right word, but if you get it with a little bit more perspective, a little bit more nuance to talk about, we can watch it and have conversations about each episode. Maybe I'm just missing things just watching it by myself, you know, looking at my computer screen.
Are you binging it too?
I watched the first two episodes back to back, and then I needed a break. And then I watched the third episode, and then I decided I wasn't going to watch anymore. And then I remembered that Jalal, I was actually talking to Jalal, and he reminded me that Hugh Grant was in it, and Hugh Grant doesn't show up until the fourth episode. So I'm like, okay, I got to watch the fourth episode to see if Hugh Grant's going to save this. And Hugh Grant is also completely serious.
Oh, wow.
I'm just like, what is going on?
I do think that there's, if I wonder if there is, so Succession was naturally funny because no one leaned into the comedy of it. Like, right. I still attest that comedy or Succession was, you know, the funniest show on TV for a number of years, but it's sort of like maybe the nature of how, this isn't a fault of Kate Winslet, but if it's like, if Kate Winslet is doing like one thing and everybody else is doing another thing, maybe the offset between the tones of what they're doing, what she is doing, is making us notice how maybe the absurdity of that character is quote unquote supposed to be funny. Yeah. And that is sort of just like, no, don't, like, because she is playing it like she's playing the emotional beats of the eccentricities of the character. But maybe since no one else around her is going for that sort of heightened thing, maybe that it sticks out more. I don't know. Are they trying to make a very poorly timed a commentary on autocracy or some? I don't know. There's something about it that I was just like, I don't want to say I don't dislike it, but it's just like there's stuff about it. I was like, okay, something is off. And I don't know what you're going for. The intention is a little unclear. But I mean, it's Kate Winslet, and if no one knows how hot I think Matthias Schoenaerts is, I'm gonna say it again, Matthias Schoenaerts is hot. So I don't know. I'll keep watching it, but I'm like one eye open a little bit.
I really like what you had to say there, because I think you're right. I think they don't understand what it is. And there is that inconsistency in terms of tonal performances. If I think that they made a deliberate choice to have Kate Winslet go over the top with this performance and to keep everybody else grounded. But I think it doesn't work. I don't think it works. And this is surprising coming from, you know, Will Tracy, who as you mentioned, Megan, you know, was the writer of Succession. He wrote the script for The Menu, which, you know, he can do satire because The Menu is very strong, I think. But I don't know. This just doesn't.
I totally love The Menu. I remember being so excited to see it. And I don't know if that was the cast or something, even though it has a bonkers cast, but that had a weird tone too. Like, and yeah. I know some people love that movie. I was expecting it to be a little more leaning into like the ridiculousness of,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I felt like it was almost like more of a horror film to me. I don't know.
I mean, I think I would look at it as a horror comedy.
Yeah. I just I didn't quite get all of the characters in it.
Yeah, I think that's a side effect of casting big names in some very, yeah, very small roles. So you expect quite a bit more.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me that much, but I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember which of you mentioned, but we're talking about, I think it was you, Megan, you were talking about, you'd love to see sort of what the audience reaction to, yeah, this will be. So this aired as we were recording last night, and some people have gotten online and they have, it went up 10 points. The Rotten Tomato user score is now a 48%. It was a 38% like 4 hours ago. Reading through some of those reviews, some people really, really, really hate this. So I don't know what to make of that. I mean, I don't think this is a limited series contender anymore.
I think she's a contender.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think this is just a Kate Winslet play, and maybe some of the score, maybe the titles, as you've mentioned, yeah, maybe the production design. The production design is fantastic. I mean, all the elements are there for this to be great. I think I love that war room that she goes to, where she meets her counsel.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks like Dr. Strangelove. It looks like a room, yeah, out of that.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah. Which I wonder if that's one of their, I would love to talk to the screenwriter and to see if that was one of his inspirations. I think all the elements are there. It just, something is very, very amiss with me, with my reaction to it. So we'll see. Do you guys have anything else you wanted to say about it?
No, I'll keep watching, yeah, and I'll report back.
All right. Very good. Well, we said we're going to keep this a short one, so let's jump to the flash forward to the Meteori most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Megan, why don't you go first?
Well, God willing, I will be at the Oscars on Sunday. I'm excited about that.
You'll be a guest at the Oscars. You'll be in the auditorium.
That's right. I'll be a guest. So that's exciting. And then that's mostly just dominating my week, thinking about all of that and trying to that's pretty huge. So that's pretty much what I'm just looking forward to.
Nice. I can't wait for you to run up and slap somebody.
You're gonna Joey's just not yell. There. Let's say Joey's not there. The person I would slap is not there.
I think what you should do, because the audit, the Kodak Theater is so huge that if you like have it's an idea to slap somebody,
it's the Dolby.
It's, Kodak? It's the Dolby. Oh,
it's the Dolby. But I
say you Kodak? Just gave you gave me a heart attack for a second. So I'm like,
you see someone walk on stage, then you have to hustle and bustle your way down to the stage to slap someone. So if you make your decision to slap someone as soon as they walk out on stage for the first time.
You're going to have to run really fast because I think you're in the third floor.
Yeah.
Like what I've heard before. So, Joey, what about you?
I mean, we're all looking forward to the Oscars, but I am going to, I had this week planned to like a T of everything I was going to do leading up to the Oscar party that I had on Sunday. And it's a Monday and it's already gone to shit. So we'll see how it goes. Maybe I'll just still frantically call Megan and tell her she's kicked out of the party, even though she's not there. So yeah, we're hosting the party, and we'll see how it goes. I've started grocery shopping for it already. I have to do a test run of a gingerbread house tomorrow.
Oh,
I've never made a gingerbread house. We'll see
how it goes. Why are you doing a gingerbread house? What is that? What film is that for?
I won't say exactly what it is. Well, it's for Anatomy of a Fall. I wanted to create
the Swiss chalet.
I wanted to try to do a gingerbread chalet. And then the amount of arguments that I've gotten to with Jason, he was just like, well, I mean, people are going to eat it. I was like, it's for a decoration. He was like, you're going to make something as part of a decoration. I was like, how long have we been doing this, Jason? How long have you like, yes, we're gonna. For the last couple of years, we've test run a dessert or something that I've never made before. Like last year for Tar, I never made an opera cake, and it's hard.
That's right.
And I made that, and I did a test run of it because thank God I did, because that thing was so complicated, and I still didn't get it the way that I exactly wanted it. But it was something I did a test run of, and I was like, I should probably do a test run of the gingerbread house that no one will eat. The minute, of course, someone will take a bite, it was like, it's a decoration, and they'll throw about the window.
Then they'll be kicked out.
They'll be kicked out.
Yeah.
Keep a running tally.
I always wonder about gingerbread houses when I see them, because I'm like, are you supposed to eat them? Because the ones that you buy in the store, those are like the candy's all coated with preservatives, right? To keep it for on display.
I don't think you're supposed to eat them after a while. Because I know my mom used to do gingerbread houses with classes and take them down to Pittsburgh downtown for late at night. And they would just toss them after they were done with them, I think.
You know, fun fact, I don't know if either of you know this, but at Disney World in the Grand Floridian Hotel, they make these huge like gingerbread houses, like and they're decorated in Disney style, of course. And at the end of the season, I mean, these things are like 7 feet tall. At the end of the season, they break them down and they take all the candy off and they leave the gingerbread, take the gingerbread with all the sugar on it out to like a local apiary, and they let the bees eat the sugar off of it. And they basically deconstruct the whole thing.
Oh wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I saw that on Instagram a couple years ago. So
I just assumed it was like your idea. Because you're like the king.
And they were like, we'll take it. Love him. We'll take that idea, Clarence. Thank you.
I don't know how much they love me now. anyway. Joey, were you done? You're just focusing on your party.
Party, and I'm making pretty good headway on finishing movies for the Oscars. We'll see.
How are you going to watch that one?
If I can believe you, someone messaged me because my friend of mine that actually used to live, she's like, I've seen all the Oscar movies. I was like, how did you see Godzilla? She's like, I have it. And I was like, how do you have it? And she was like, so I have a copy of it, but I think the coloring is off. I think it's like an illegal copy that someone like recorded in the theater.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm sure.
I was like, okay, ma'am, I guess I'll count that when I watch it. So here we go. I don't know. There's one Tuesday left. I don't know if it's coming out on digital tomorrow. We'll find out tomorrow.
No, I looked for you and they haven't announced a release date yet. I don't know why.
I heard that studio, that Japanese studio, I saw, they said it takes them a quote, notoriously long time for them to release their movies. It's like, awesome.
But I mean, it's not playing anywhere, and it was only out in December, right?
Yeah, it was out in December. There were actually two versions of that movie came out, which I didn't realize the second one came out. The black and white one, which actually looked really cool. But that was out for like a week, and then they pulled it. So I was like, all right, guys, that movie might win an Oscar.
Sad. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
In your quest. I might be going to see Dune this weekend, question mark. We'll see how it goes. Got some family things to do. And of course, Oscar Sunday, which means I have to, and it's early this year. So it means I have less prep time. TV wise, I'll probably try to finish The Regime. And then I'll start, Apples Never Fall.
I want to see that so bad.
Newest Leanne Moriarty adaptation starring Sam Neill and Annette Bening and a host of others. Limited series coming up in, I think it actually drops in 2 weeks or just under 2 weeks, but I have some screeners for it. So I'll probably try to start that. And I need to finish Manhunt as well. Books-wise, I need to finish The Mystery Guest, a maid novel by Nita Prose. But my daughter, for her English class, is reading, based on my recommendation, Joy Luck Club by Amy Tan. So I'm going to start that and read it along with her.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and she loves it. I mean, poured through it.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, so does that cover it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3M's contributors, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Point, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, plus subscribe to our YouTube channel at Awards Daily, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.